Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing well. Hopefully everyone has had a blessed and wonderful week. Amen. I know that we just got through a very challenging week just the other week with a huge snowstorm, ice storm that hit Texas that made a record and also history. I know it was coldest that I can ever remember for that extended amount of time in Texas, you know, as long as I've been alive. So that was pretty amazing. A lot of our people here in Texas are still feeling the effects. So make sure that we are praying for everyone here in the South and also throughout the country that's been affected by this major snowstorm that just hit last week. Family, we hope that you all are doing well. It is a blessing to be back on the air. It's also a blessing to be in the land of the living. We're praying for each and every one of you all in these trying times, that you stay strong, that you stay in your word, and that most of all you stay prayed up. Amen. So we're grateful for this opportunity. I'd like to send a shout out to Derek Oliver and Chaos Talk Radio team for what they're doing, and thank them for this platform to be a blessing to the ministry of many ministers. And also to the kingdom of heaven, amen. And also to the souls out there, amen, that are soul searching. We hope that something's being said throughout the weeks and through the many people on the roster that's giving you the word and daily bread, that you're being blessed. And most of all, that you're seeking and finding salvation. We know that that is our main goal, that people receive salvation and become saved. And we're just so grateful for this opportunity. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into the word, because I know last week it took us to barely finish up Revelation, the 18th chapter, last week, because there's a lot of information as we begin to get down to the closing of Revelation, or should we say down to the nitty-gritty to things. So let's go ahead and get started. I know there's a lot could be said. I know for the sake of time, I don't want to spend a lot of time with the intro or talking too much. So we're going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. We're going to read the context of love, which was written by Paul. And then we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. We're going to go ahead and get right into the scripture this evening so we can go ahead and let you get back to your lives and your day. Amen. So let's go ahead and read what it says. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. And it reads, "But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Amen. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for our lives, soul, health, and strength. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your Son, Yeshua the Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for his ultimate sacrifice for mankind to redeem us back to you, dear Heavenly Father, to redeem us with your love, dear Heavenly Father. Gracious Master, we just come thanking you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, dear Heavenly Father. We are so glad that we've accepted salvation and that we are on your side, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your mercy and redeeming us so that we may spend all eternity with you, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we just come praying that all flesh be removed so that your Holy Spirit can come in and minister to your people, dear Heavenly Father. I just come praying that you lead my heart and guide my mind, dear Heavenly Father. I bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. 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 All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into the scriptures. Because I know last week I barely finished up Revelation chapter 18 because of the amount of information. As I told you before, we're going to continue the study of eschatology, which is the study of end time events. Amen. So we're going to continue to study the word. We're going to keep going. We're not going to stop because we know that we are in the last days. If you don't know what time we are in, we are definitely in the last times. Amen. If not, amen, you need to get into your word and read and study. I heard some people say, we're not quite there. Well, I don't know what much more they need to show them evidence that we're on the brink of the return of Christ. Amen. We're just waiting as the church. And I told you before, we should be looking to the sky almost every single day, if not every single day of your rest of your life. If you say that you are a believer, if you say that you are a saint of the Most High, you should be looking for the return of Christ, amen, because he said what? He said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. So if he said that he's coming as a thief in the night, that means that you don't know when he's coming. No man knows the day or the hour, amen, so we are to continue to watch. We know that we're talking about the appearing of Christ. We're not referring to the second coming of Christ, because if you study and read the scriptures, those of us who read and studied the scriptures, we understand that the return of Christ, we know when that's going to be. That's going to be at the end of the seven-year period of the Great Tribulation. So that's not what Paul was referring to, nor what Christ was referring to. When he said, I come as a thief in the night, he was referring to his coming back to get the church. We are in the church age, so we are waiting for Christ's appearance. He's going to appear in the sky. He's going to get the church. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump right into Revelation the 19th chapter. Amen. We're going to be talking about the return of Christ. Amen. So as I just now stated, we know when Christ is going to return for the second time, when he's going to actually touch the earth after he defeats his enemy. It's going to be at the very end of the great seven-year tribulation. Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and get into the return of Christ. Amen. We're almost through. We got 19, 20, 21, and 22. So hopefully by the end of March, we will be done with Revelation. This is the general study of the book of Revelation. We just go through pretty much every chapter and every verse. We break down most of the chapters and give it to you. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper, get a little bit more detail once we finish with Revelation. Amen. We're going to probably just jump right into it in April, or I may start it in May, since that's when I started the Revelation teaching last year. But who knows? We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And guys, without further ado, let's go ahead and read Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 1. Let's see what John wrote. Amen. It says, verse 1, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Amen. It's referring to Yahweh, amen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you see that John said, "I heard a great voice of much people." Amen. He said much. So this basically lets you know that there's a huge collection of people. Now, it says people. Now, this is important to understand in the interpretation of the scriptures. Amen. So when it says people, it didn't say angels. It said people. So where do people come from? We know that people come from where? People come from earth. Okay. So John is signifying who are these people. John is saying, who are these people in heaven? They're not angels. So we know that only people are referred to when it refers to the humans. OK, Okay? Now, if you go back to Genesis, and it tells you that there was a host of angels in heaven and that he made man on earth. And man is used commonly, or we know that when we talk about people, is usually referenced to who? Human beings, okay, or the human race, man, okay? So we know that the people in heaven is who? So let's evaluate who these people are in heaven that are given all the praise. It says hallelujah. They're praising who? The Most High. They're giving them all the praise. Why? Why are they rejoicing? You're going to see why they're rejoicing, okay? They're jumping up and down. It's like if you want a great sporting event, you see those guys out there on the field, those girls out there on the field, they're jumping up and down, okay? So who are the people that's in heaven? Well, we told you about how Christ is coming back to get who? The church. So we know that the 24 elders, as we referenced back in Revelation, the fourth chapter, we found out who the elders were in heaven. They are the church, okay? So we are the church age. So this is all the people going back to the time of the day of Pentecost all the way up until the return of Christ when he comes back to gather the church. That is why we say you must be watching. We are the church. He's coming back to get us. So all the passed on saints, all the way to the saints that still remain alive today, we are the church age until Christ come back to gather together the saints. That's called the gathering together or being caught up, or some refer to the rapture. Amen. Now, I choose not to use the word rapture because that word is not even in the Bible, so that's why I don't use rapture. I like to refer to the words that are used in the Bible, so I always call it the gathering together, as Paul he called it, or being caught up, okay? So we know that the 24 elders is the church. Who else is in heaven? Throughout this great tribulation time, so soon as the church is caught up to heaven, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The Holy Spirit is going to step back and allow him and Satan to do their thing. Okay, he's just going to move back. He's not going to leave. He's going to still be in the world, the Holy Spirit, amen, but he's just going to move out the way and allow them to have some power. Not, they ain't going to let them just run too rampant, because remember, the Holy Spirit lets you know now, wait a minute, you ain't all that you think you are. You know, we, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, we're still in control, okay, temporarily for 7 years, and let the beast and the false prophet and Satan come on the scene, okay? And we know that after the church is gone, that the Most High is not through with who? The Jews, the chosen people, okay? So the remnant. So they're going to come, so they're going to become saved. We also know that 144,000 is going to be saved. So this is who your people in heaven is. You have your church. You have your saints within the great tribulation, the seven-year period. Those saints are going to be martyred, meaning these are the people who are going to refuse the mark of the beast within that 7 years. And what's going to happen to them? Because they refuse the mark of the beast, they're going to become saved, and their heads are going to be beheaded. They're going to be tortured. They're going to be beheaded, right? And we also know that the 144,000 is going to be on the earth at that time, okay? So this is your host of heaven. Amen. Okay, this is your host of heaven when we talk about the people in heaven. You have the 24 elders. You have the Jews, the remnant, amen, the 144,000, and those other people who are going to become saved that's going to refuse the mark of the beast, amen. So this is who you see that's going to be giving Yahweh all the praise and the glory and the honor, and saying, and he has power, right, and power unto the Lord, our God, amen, Yahweh, amen. So you're going to see that they're going to be rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? Because he has judged the wicked, okay? And so all this wickedness that's been going on since the beginning of time, amen, is going to finally come to head, and the Most High is going to judge it, okay? He's going to judge those on the earth, this wicked, evil system, this satanic, Luciferian, evil system that's been around. We talked about that, how it started with Nimrod, but we know actually before then it started where? In the garden, because Satan deceived who first? Eve and then Adam. So man has been deceived from Satan since the beginning. So this satanic Luciferian system, a government type system or satanic Luciferian rule, which started in the Garden of Eden, and because he fooled mankind, he took the rule from Adam when Adam fell, because we know that Eve caused the sin first, and then Adam, he listened to his wife, decided to follow his wife, gave over the rule of mankind to who? Over to Satan. And Satan's rule is now coming to an end here at the end of the great seven-year period of the tribulation. Okay? So we see that this is what's taking place. And so the saints in heaven are just rejoicing, right? That's right. They're rejoicing since salvation. Salvation meaning deliverance. He has said, Yahweh has delivered us. We have the victory. It is sealed, right? Because why? He's going to take vengeance on his enemies. Now we're going to go ahead and move over to verse 2, Revelation the 19th chapter, verse 2. It says, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore. Amen. So when you learn who the great whore is, the last two chapters of Revelation the 17th chapter and Revelation the 18th chapter. So we know who the great whore is. Remember, you know, I remember, as I told you before, 20-some years ago when I began to, you know, study and read the Bible, I said, you know, I'm going to start trying to study and read and understand Revelation, because my dad used to always teach and talk about Revelation. So I said, well, let me try Revelation. And when I read about the great whore, I actually thought it was referring to a female prostitute. But we know that the book of Revelation is symbolic and is not referring to a female prostitute. Now, once we finish Revelation within a month, I'm going to go back through Revelation. I'm going to teach it again. We're going to get a little bit more in depth, okay? And then I'll begin to break down those things, amen, about, you know, just different things and the meaning of some of the things that are symbolic in just Revelation as a whole, okay? So we know who the great whore is. And who is the great whore? Religious Babylon, okay? So what it is, it's an ancient Luciferian satanic religious cult. That's exactly what it is, a religious cult. The world is filled with 99% religious cults. So many different religions on the earth. But there's only one true religion on the earth. There's only one true God, and that's Yahweh. All these other religions, I mean, you got so many religions that they have the nerve to use the Bible. That's how many religions there are. And that's why we tell people, amen, in particular the saints, be careful who you listen to. And I tell people, you know, don't just take my word for it. Do your own study and research. You can learn just like I've learned. You can ask the Holy Spirit for spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and he will give it to you. The word says you have not because you ask not. That's what I pray for daily. I thank him for the spiritual wisdom and knowledge that he has given me, and I pray and ask for more spiritual wisdom and knowledge until he either calls me home or until Christ comes back to get me. I'm continuously studying my word and seeking, amen, spiritual wisdom and knowledge, amen. So I'm a man just like you are. If I can learn it, whether you're a man or a woman or a child, you can learn as well, okay? So do understand who the great whore is, okay? The great whore is an adulterer, okay? The religious Babylon. We talked about how there's so many religions. Amen. I gave you some examples the other week of how so many leaders in the world will actually pick up the Bible and quote scriptures and say, oh, we love the Lord and do this. You see it in government. How they sit up there and they act like they're praying to our God, Yahweh. They're not praying to Yahweh. They're fooling you. They're not. You look at all the wickedness and evilness that the governments around the country allow. Yes, I said allow. There's no way in the world with all this technology and power and man force that they can't stop crime. No, they can stop it. They have no intent on stopping it. They'll control it a little bit just to make you believe that, hey, we're working on it. We're trying to control it. But there's so much corruption in the government systems around the world, not just the American government system or the European government system, but all nations across the earth. Now, we know that just from last week when we were studying Revelation 17 and 18. We're going to go back to Revelation 17 chapter real quick. We're going to look at Revelation 17 chapter verse 1. And I'm just going to quote the second part of verse 1 of Revelation 17 chapter, where he says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Amen. And that's the second part of Revelation 17, chapter verse 1, the second half of that verse, where he said that the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The great whore is the religious Babylon. It's a religious system that's been sitting behind the scenes in which you can't see it, meaning that this religious system has been controlling nations behind the scene. In other words, they have been serving Satan under different titles. Amen. You know, they have to talk about the Vatican, the Pope. Amen. But then, you know, you got the popes. They don't marry. What type of man don't get married and have kids? Amen. Or marry and deal with a woman? The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. In fact, the Bible said that he made Adam for Eve. So we're supposed to, as a man, deal with a woman and a woman with the man. Amen. So we're supposed to. Amen. You got these different religions that talk about the Virgin Mary. We don't worship Mary. Amen. We believe. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's who we worship. Amen. Not an image. Amen. We talk about Buddha, Allah, all these different religions. Amen. That are just set up by Satan to what? Confuse the world. Because why? We have many different nations and tongues and cultures. And so because of that, man is going. They're not going to all serve. Amen. Under one belief, amen, or just under one thing. And we saw this. What happened was, remember I told you that Cush, which was Nimrod's father, was the one that started this whole religious cult back before Babylon began to become established. And then his son Nimrod took it to a whole nother level, amen. So when he took it to a whole nother level, amen, and he began to rebel against the Most High, and this religious evil system began to grow. And the Most High came down and said, you know, what is this thing? You mean man is rebellion against me? That's what it was. That's what the Tower of Babel was. It was a rebellion against the Most High to serve Satan. And so because man did that, he confounded their language. He confused them. And when he confused them, what was the one thing that they all had in common? They still served the religion. They still serve Satan, Lucifer. That's one thing they had in common. But because their language was confounded, was confused, they took upon themselves to have their own religion, which still led back to Lucifer. So that's why you got all these different religions across the world, across the earth. Amen. And this is why it says the whore that sitteth upon many waters. It doesn't matter if it's Africa, India, Asia, Europe, Russia, America, South America, you name it. Hawaii can be any tiny island, large continent on the face of this planet. Amen. If they don't acknowledge the one and only true God that's sitting in heaven, amen, they are serving a lie. They are serving a Luciferian. They're serving Satan in a nutshell. They're just all serving him in a different way. This is why they found different temples, pyramids across the world. They found pyramids in the sea, all these different religions. They found places where they've done blood sacrifices all over the earth, just all kind of children sacrificing, women sacrificing. This thing has been going on since the days of Nimrod and Cush's father. So the kidnapping of people, the raping of women and children and taking them off and kidnapping them. This is nothing new. We see this happening right here in our own backyard, right here in America. We see it in Europe. We see it in every continent and country and nation on this planet. Amen. So this is the great whore, in which we had to refer back to Revelation 17, chapter verse 1, just to kind of give you a thought from a few weeks ago when we were studying this to let you know who is the great whore. He says, for verse 2 of Revelation 19 says, for true and righteous are his judgments. Is he righteous for this? Certainly he is. What type of man, amen, would kidnap a child and do harm to them? Is his judgment fair? Of course his judgment is going to be fair. Amen. So we know that once his enemies are going to be destroyed, where are they going to go? They're going to go to hell. Amen. And as I've said before, people must understand that hell and the lake of fire are two totally different places. Amen. Hell is a temporary holding place, amen, until you are judged, until you meet your judgment, you meet your fate, and if your fate, and if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. So, family, I encourage you, amen, if you are an unbeliever tonight, I highly encourage you that you become saved, to receive salvation. It is as simple as confession with your mouth and believing with your heart. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. We're going to move forward with verse 2 of Revelation, the 19th chapter. It says, "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Amen. We know that throughout the ages that the righteous have suffered to the hands of the unrighteous. Amen. Because, again, whether known or unknown, if you don't believe the Most High, you are serving Satan. That's just all it is to it. Whether you claim that you don't know or that you do know, amen. Like a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God, but I don't serve Satan. Well, that's a correction. If you don't believe in the Most High, you are by default serving Satan. Amen. And so, yes, you're going to pay for your sins and your rebellion against the Most High. Amen. So, again, we talked about the corruption, how they corrupted the earth with her fornication. I just gave you some example of kidnapping, sex trafficking. Amen. And abusing women, abusing children, murdering men, killing men, over-incarcerating people, just murdering people. People with authority just murdering people for no reason, killing innocent people, abusing their authority. Amen. These type of things, amen, are going to come to head, and they're going to pay for it. I tell people all the time, I know a lot of people say that that the Most High, his revenge is slow, because we know that during the Great Tribulation, there was the souls of the beheaded under his throne that said, "Lord, how long will it take for you to avenge our death?" They want revenge. Amen. We all know that. When somebody do something wrong to us, we want justice and revenge right there and then. We don't want to wait. Amen. I'm guilty of that. That just comes natural. We want our enemies to pay for wronging us right there on the spot. We want justice. But he said, you know what? Justice is mine, said the Lord. So he's going to get revenge in due time. So don't worry about what man is doing. Don't get caught up. You become saved. Get your family saved and get ready for the return of Christ, so that when he comes back to take his vengeance and judgment out on the earth and against those who were in these governments and systems and people and rulers, these so-called elite, when he come back and he's going to judge them, he's going to punish them, you won't even be here. You won't have to worry about the mark of the beast taking the mark of the beast on your forehead or in your hand. You won't have to worry about that. Amen. So let's go ahead and move on to verse 3, Revelation 19. It says, "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." Amen. So this is talking about pretty much the destruction of the Babylon system. Amen. We talked about that last week, the commercial Babylon, how it will be destroyed. So all things are going to cease, which means that all buying and selling, all commerce is going to cease, right? Christ is going to put an end to this evil, wicked, unjust system, to those who have been getting over on people. They say, oh, it's called capitalization. Well, it may, but, I mean, if you're wronging people and you're bending laws to favor one group over the other, if you're sitting there knowing that you're stealing and taking from people, you know, just doing all kind of evil things. You know, we've seen the government and corporations. I've been in corporate America for 20 years, and I've seen all these major corporations and banks and corporations just lie to people, steal, cheat their employees, just ripping off people, just making the rich richer, and just keeping the poor, just lying to people, being conniving. They want to set all kind of rules and laws and guidelines for you when you work for these companies. But as soon as you break a rule, they're ready to kick you out the door and fire you or bring some type of law against you to have you judged, or possibly, if you're not careful, you could be sentenced and thrown in prison. So they're quick to do you like that. But when these major corporations do evil and wrong and they're lying and breaking all kind of rules, and don't get it wrong, they're lying and breaking rules and laws right now as I speak. All of them are. Because why? They serve Satan. They're wicked, evil, crooked organizations. They try to play and act like they're right, they're righteous, and they're just. But we find out every time that they're doing something evil, wrong, and conniving. So how right or righteous is that? It's not. So, again, they're breaking all kind of rules behind the scenes, and that's every form of government. That's all the way from the judicial system, the policing system, the military system, the financial system, you name it, the politicians are corrupt all over the world. Amen. They're all corrupt. They're all evil. They're all. Don't think that they serve God because they pick up a Bible and they hold hands and pray. You know, I get so sick and tired of seeing this stuff, how they say that they serve God. Well, see, they say God, and that's why that word God is used as a generic name, because they don't want to use Yahweh, because that signifies the one and only true God. That's why I say Yahweh, because that signifies who I serve, the one and only true God. The one and only true God, amen? And so you can say God when you're referencing the one and only true God, if you say that. But I like to call his name, just like my name is Tim. And this is why I call him Yahweh, because no matter what language you speak, amen, my name is Tim. And you must acknowledge me when you're talking to me by my name, Tim, not what my name is in your language, because that don't count, because that's not what my parents named me. They named me Tim, so you have to call me by my name. That's how it is with the Most High. You must call him by his name to signify and reference, well, who are you talking about? Amen. Okay, so let me get back on the subject. So I just wanted to share that with you real quick. So remember, we're talking about the destruction of Babylon. It says, and her smoke rose up forever, meaning that it's not going to ever come back into rule. So from the time of the Garden of Eden when man failed, all the way to the very end of that 7-year great tribulation period when Christ come back, he's going to destroy this evil system. It's done. It's over with. Satan rule is over with. It's done. He's never going to rule again. And we see that when Christ comes back, what's going to happen? He's going to toss Satan to a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Amen. And what's going to happen? Christ and the saints, these saints that are rejoicing here in Revelation 19:1, amen, we talked about the people in heaven, they're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. He's also going to resurrect who? The Old Testament saints. There's going to be another resurrection at the end of the tribulation. So there's one revelation at the beginning, before the tribulation kicks off. The theologians and Bible scholars believe in the middle of Revelation, the 3.5 period of the 7-year great tribulation, that there's going to be another resurrection in the middle. And then at the end, there's going to be another resurrection, which is going to be the resurrection of who? The Old Testament saints. And remember when he told Daniel over in Daniel, the 12th chapter, Daniel, go, amen, and stand in your lot at the end. That's what he was telling him. He says, sleep, rest, because you won't even be here, amen, throughout the church age. You won't be here, amen, you won't be here to witness the great tribulation. You'll be back at the end of it. Christ was going to raise him from the dead, and then he's going to go on and live in King David. We're going to all rule, amen, the saints of all time, going to enjoy a 1,000-year period. Amen. Don't that sound good, family? We're going to get to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It sounds awesome. It sounds great. You can't beat it. I can't wait for it. We get to come back to this earth. We're going to rule. We're going to show them how it's done. See, man talks about this false peace. Governments keep talking about coming together and creating peace, peace on earth, peace throughout the earth. There's temporary peace around the holiday time. They talk about peace on earth and all this stuff. We know it's no such thing. We know it's all a lie. the politicians and presidents get in before they get in the office, they promise mankind and man all these different things. Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And as soon as they get these offices, it's the same game being ran from year in and year out. The politicians do the same thing. All the presidents have done, all the politicians and governments do it around the country, around the world. They say you're going to do all this stuff. People vote for them. They lie. They change their mind. We have to do this instead of that. It's a lie. This is their father is Satan. They're going to lie. It's in them to lie, okay? Don't put all your stock in these folks because they serve Satan, okay? All along, because they say they Democrat, Republican, I don't care what they say. They all serve the devil. Don't you think no otherwise. Amen. You can't get to be on no platforms unless you take that oath. That's why most of these people get these different jobs. They've been in these fraternities and sororities and secret societies, Masons and Eastern Stars. Man, I've known people, just that I've worked with. They was in sororities and fraternities. He got a good job. His wife got a good job. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that if you know who you serve. But a lot of these people, there's been instilled in them before they even knew Christ or before they even had any idea who Christ really is. They were just being religious, meaning that they just go to church. But they were serving Satan because they got a part of the evil organization. The evil organization got a hold of them first and start guiding them and leading them on what to do, how to do. And you find, hey, these people don't serve the Most High. They're serving Satan. Amen. It's a trickery, all right? So let's go ahead and move forward. Amen. Let's see what we got here on my notes. I got to look at my notes. Amen. Let me go ahead and go to Isaiah, the 34th chapter, verse 10. I got a lot of scriptures written down. Lots. I don't even get to read all these scriptures. This is what amazes me. I probably just stopped writing all these scriptures down. But it's part of my study. It's a habit that I can't stop. So we'll get as far as we can. I'm just going to have to move a little faster, amen, because that time be moving, amen. I can talk about the Bible all day. I love it. I love the Lord. I thank you all for listening, for taking out your busy schedule, for joining us today to talk about the book of Revelation. Hopefully something is being said to you to bless your soul, to bless your spirit. Hopefully you're learning the word, amen. That's all we want to do is bring salvation and knowledge to those who seek it, amen. So I'm going to read Isaiah, the 34th chapter, verse 10. That's what it says. It says, "It shall not be quenched, night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation, it shall lie waste." Amen. And it says, "It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever." Now, in other words, that system is done. And so we talked about how Babylon was twofold. It was actually threefold, meaning that it was an actual city, it was an actual nation. Okay, so you had, remember I told you, in order to have a nation, you must have three elements. You must have a religion, a government, and you must have economics, which is your commerce, where you buy and sell. Okay, if you want to have a nation. So the religion was what started it, okay? It was in the background. Then we saw the government come into place when Nimrod took it to another level. He built the government of Babylon. His father started the religious part of it. And then it spawned into a what nation? It grew to be a nation. And then the nation was destroyed over a thousand years ago. But the religious and the commercial mindset and some of the things that they did in ancient times continue throughout different, amen, different, how do you say it, nations, is what I'm trying to say, different nations throughout time, meaning ancient Egypt, Babylon, Syria, Rome, Greece, and now America, amen, Europe, Africa, these different great nations now. And now you see it grew all over the earth. Amen. But they still use stuff, ancient techniques from Babylon's commercial, the way that they buy and sell. They still use that technique from ancient times. They still use their ancient religion Luciferian satanic religion from ancient Babylon. Those two things are still alive and well today. They're just hidden behind the scenes, and they're what they and that system is what's running through every nation on this earth. Amen. But Christ is going to come back. He's going to end all that. He's going to destroy that. Amen. So let's go ahead and go back over to Revelation 19, chapter verse 4. It says, "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped Yahweh that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice." This is verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Amen. Verse 8, and to her, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Amen. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh. Amen. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yahweh, for the of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. May the Most High add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. Amen. So that's from verse 5. Amen. So verse 10, we're going to cover those verses. Amen. And we're going to try to knock this all out tonight. Amen. So we talked about, we'll start at verse 4. So let's deal with verse 4 of Revelation, the 19th chapter. Amen. So we've come to find out early in the study, sometime last year, I think around the summer, when we got to Revelation chapter 4, that we came to understand who the 24 elders were, are in heaven. The 24 elders is the church. Amen. Now watch this. I want to show you something real quick. This is very, very, very highly important and very significant in understanding Revelation and also understanding who the church is. And let's go back to Revelation, the 4th chapter, real quick. Revelation, the 4th chapter, we're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to show you something. Revelation 4 and 1 says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. I'm going to stop right there. Now, this is John. Notice that prior to Revelation 4, the church is not mentioned again. Amen. I believe the church is not mentioned again until Revelation 21 or 22. I want to say it's Revelation 21. I'll get to that in a minute. But the church is not mentioned. The word church is not mentioned again until, like, I believe Revelation 21. But the church is not seen again until Revelation the 19th chapter. And I'm going to show you that here in a minute because I just read it, but I'm going to show it to you. So we see that the church is going home in Revelation 4 and 1. Amen. Meaning that we're gone before the Great Tribulation kicks off. The Great Tribulation kicks off in Revelation 6th chapter. So we are out of here. Amen. As you can see now, watch this. When Christ called up John, he was calling him up, but he showed him the church leaving. That's why I said, come up hither. Amen. It says in verse 4, he says, and here's the trumpet as we're talking with him. He said, come up. So in other words, it was a type of, amen, gathering together or calling up, all right? Or as you could say, a rapture for John. So this was the same time the church, but he was showing John this as John witnessed the church going to heaven. So he said, come up, John, I got to show you something. So John went up with the church, and he showed him how the church was in heaven. And as you read through Revelation, the fourth chapter, you see verses 4. It says, and around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now this is how we know this is the church. Okay, for one, we see that the church in Revelation 4:1 is called up. They're raptured or gathered together into heaven, right? They also have clothed in white raiment. So we know it's not referring to the angels because it says what? 24 elders. Right? Now, you see the same language over in Revelation, the 19th chapter, amen, about having what? Fine linen, clean and white. So I told you over in Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 1, how the saints, the church age saints, was given praise. Also, who was giving praise? Those souls that were martyred than the 7-year great tribulation. Amen. And so this is who, and also the 144,000, this is who was in heaven. But the church is the 24 elders. Amen. So I just want to point that out to you. Now, verse 5, it says, and the voice came out of the throne. Amen. So we see the praises of who? Amen. All his servants which were in heaven. We've already covered that. Verse 6, okay, same thing. The great multitude. We see the all-powerful. That's what omnipotent means. We're giving praises to the Most High God because we serve the Most High God. And, you know, the crazy thing is that, you know, you hear so many people. I heard one of my kids say the other day, one of the classmates said he serves Satan. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I know it's not just in this time. It was going on when I was in school. Kids wearing these 666 and these satanic symbols and satanic shirts and satanic sayings and songs, and it was always been going on, right? Where people have been, kids been serving Satan because the parents are not involved in the kids' life spiritually, or their parents serve Satan. Remember, I told you, whether knowing or unknowing, amen, if you're not for him, you're against him. If you're not for Christ and the Most High and the Holy Spirit, you're against him. By default, you are automatically serving Satan. And that's what these people are doing. By default, they're already serving him. Amen. Amen. Forgive me, amen. We went to a basketball game last night. A very good game. Our area team advanced in the playoffs. They're almost close to getting the state. And we was out there yelling, hollering for them. They came back in the last minute of the game and won the game. Hadn't been leading the game the whole night. Came back in the very last seconds of the game and took the game and won. And so you know I'm kind of struggling here with my voice. So I got me something to drink. Maybe I need some lemons or something. But just bear with me. I'm trying to make it through this. Hey, man, my voice is kind of struggling a little bit. But we're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to make it through this. Amen. So Revelation, the 7th chapter, says, let us be glad and rejoice. This is us, the saints. Let us be glad and rejoice. We see that language spoken to us throughout the word. Let us be glad and rejoice. Right now, we should be glad and rejoice. If you have salvation, amen, you may not have food. You may not have running water. You may not have a job. Amen. Your health may not be the best. But the word said, let us rejoice and be glad. Amen. Let's be glad and rejoice because, wow, we have the victory. Amen. And I'm not making light of nobody's situation. Amen. I just talked to a friend today. Amen. He said that, man, he said for a while they was out water. He said, in fact, they're telling people to boil the water, but the water's coming out brown. I'm like, why would you want somebody to boil? You can't do nothing with that, you know. And so we see so much corruption in the government system and in the worldly systems and how the rich just keep getting richer. But they're going to pay for this stuff. They're not going to escape. I know a lot of people think they're going to escape. They're not going to escape. You know, it's amazing how fast this time. We're having fun. Time flies, isn't it? Amen. Let's move on. Amen. So, and it says in verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Amen. Talking about the Lamb, Christ. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. This is talking about the church. Amen. Here we go with the church again. So when you get the opportunity, I highly encourage you to read Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Just read about the wedding banquet, and you'll understand, amen, the church and how we got to this point. How do you make it to the Lamb's Supper? We want to come to the supper. Told you, Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10. You must be what? Born again. Christ told Nicodemus. Amen. You know, no man should enter into the kingdom without being born. How do you become born again? Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says you're saved. That's it. It's just that simple. You know, don't let nobody think you have to shoot, a 300-foot three-pointer or some stuff that's, you know, it's not like that. You know, you don't have to jump off a mountain and live. You know, that's not how it works. Salvation is free. Amen. Salvation is for all eternity. It's yours. Christ took away the hard part when he died on the cross. Amen. So we want to be ready. We want to be there. I'm going to be there. Will you be there? I will be at the weddings, the Lamb's banquet, the marriage of the Lamb. We want you there too. Verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. We talked about this. It says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, right? Amen. Because our sins will be washed away, what? In the blood of the Lamb. He takes away what? The sins of the world. Amen. So we're going to jump down. We'll go down to verse 11 because I want to show you how the church is going to return with Christ. So I read verses 9 and 10, and hopefully you understand it, how the angel told him, hey, you know, don't fall down and worship me. I am your fellow servant. I am your brethren. Amen. That have the testimony of Christ just like you do. He said, worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yahshua is this prophecy. We will be made higher than the angels when we go to heaven. See, right now we're a little lower than them, but because we went through this life and we believe and we accept the Christ, we're going to be a little higher than them. Amen. We're going to have some authority. Verse 11 of Revelation says, and I saw heaven open. There we go. Revelation 4 and 1, you saw it open, didn't you? You saw heaven open, and what happened? We went up into heaven. We were caught up, the gathering together. We went back to heaven with Christ. Now heaven opens up, and we're going to return with Christ. Amen. We're going to return. The armies of God are going to return with Christ, right? Let's read what it says. Verse 11 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he do judge and make war. Now it says, watch it, it says he judges and make war. Not us. Even though we're the armies, we're going to come back with Christ. All the saints, right? Right? Okay. We're going to come back as the church age saints and the Great Tribulation Saints. But there's no need for us to do anything. Christ is going to take care of it all. I'm going to read it on down, read it on out, and we're going to go ahead and finish this up. I'm going to read on down to the 15th chapter. So I'm going to start at verse 11 again. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he do judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress, amen, of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, Yahweh, amen. Amen. Okay. Now watch this. Beautiful scriptures. So we have a description of Christ. Amen. His eyes were as a flame. So we know in Revelation 1, we got that same description. So we know that this is referring to who? Christ. And on his head were many crowns. Okay. Now understand that we're going to have crowns. So remember, when the elders over in Revelation 4 chapter, it described the saints, how we're going to have crowns on our heads as well, okay? And we're going to have numerous of crowns depending on your work in Christ and what you do for Christ. You're going to have many crowns too. But we know that Christ is going to have many crowns. And it has a name in that no man knew but who? Him himself. That is amazing. And so his vesture is dipped in blood. That is going to be amazing. His name is called what? The Word of Yahweh. Referring to St. John, the first chapter 1:1. We know that Christ is called what? The Word of God. What does the scripture say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Meaning that Christ has always existed from everlasting to everlasting. And we see him coming back, taking vengeance on those that have what? Accepted the mark of the beast on their foreheads, in their hand. And I told you that the church, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here. If you are saved and believe, you don't even have to worry about the mark of the beast. So many people are fearful of the mark of the beast. I heard people in church asking, what about the mark of the beast? I don't want to take the mark of the beast. If we take the mark of the beast, will we die? Will we be saved? No, you can't be saved. But I'll say if you accept that mark of the beast, you go into the lake of fire. But see, if you already believe before the tribulation kick off, we won't even be here. You don't even have to worry about the mark of the beast. We're talking about these chips, this shot, the vaccination. Is it the mark of the beast? Man, look here. The mark of the beast, as the scripture says, is the number of a name, and it's 666 on your forehead or in your hand. And we know people are going to accept it like nothing because why? People got all these tattoos all over the body. Man, people got tattoos in places that will amaze you. You know, ain't going to be no shame of where they're going to put a tattoo. So the forehead and their hand is not going to be no issue. So they want it visible to where they can see easily to recognize you. If you don't have that mark of the beast, you will be beheaded. Amen. So that's a good thing. You don't want to accept it. Why? Because if you accept it, you're going to burn in the lake of fire. For all eternity, ain't no coming back from that. If the Bible said it and the Most High said it, it's going to happen. Okay? Now, it says, and out of his mouth, amen. I think we pretty much got verse 14. I'm just going to read it. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's going to be lovely. And verse 15 says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So he's going to come back, and all these nations, remember, they turned their back on the Lamb, that decided that they were going to follow the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan, that they decided to follow the devil. Amen, okay. Like the young folks like the young people say, play stupid games and receive stupid rewards. I remember hearing the young people say that. Okay? So, again, if you want to play stupid games, you're going to receive some stupid rewards. It ain't going to be what you want. Amen. Don't be out here playing. Your soul's all you got. Your soul's important. If you think you done sold your soul to the devil, you better unsell it and get it back by believing in Christ, Romans 10 chapter verses 9 and 10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You know, your soul, Satan can't own you. He didn't give it to you, so he can't own it. That's just a trick. That's another trick of the devil. Oh, you sold your soul like you can't get it back. Ain't like you sell a car, a house, and you can't get it back. No, it was never his to purchase anyway. Amen. You better let Christ purchase your soul. You better believe. Amen. It'd be the worst thing for you to commit is to leave this world and not have your soul right. That's like the worst thing ever. And there's no coming back from that. Now, amen, a lot of scriptures. I think I'm just going to have to start freestyle because of the sake of time, it's so hard for me to get so in-depth. But that's why I'm going to come back and teach eschatology. We're going to go back through Revelation so I can get more in-depth. Because there's a lot of things that I got to show you. I'm also going to show you one day how the Antichrist is the total opposite of Christ. And I mean even in as detailed as how he looked as far as how they give you a false fictional picture, just a fake picture. Let's just say a fake, not picture, a fake picture of Christ and how the Antichrist and Christ are so very much opposite as far as their skin tone, their skin color, and their race and their background. It's totally the opposite. Amen. You've been sold a lie. Hey, my job is to tell the truth whether you like it or not. Hey, like it or not, amen. Like the old school people used to say, I must tell it like it is, amen, whether you like it or not. It's just the truth, amen. So let's move forward. Verse 16 of Revelation, now we're getting down to some thick stuff. It's all a very deep study, but I wish I could just dig a little bit more deep into it, but that's okay. Amen. We're going to do what we can with the last verse. But before I go any further, I want to go back to, let's see, we got some time. Let's look at Revelation, the 15th chapter. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. I got to show you something. Man, so much information. I'm going to try to knock this out. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Amen. Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, there we go. Second chapter, verse 8. Second Thessalonians, second chapter, verse 8. This is what the reason says. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. It's amazing how when you study and read, how scriptures are just revealed to you. And it made it very clear, studying Revelation, what this verse here that Paul wrote was talking about, what it means. Amen. So, amen. The verse 7 prior to verse 8 was to happen at the beginning of the tribulation. Verse 8 very much covers the very ending of the great tribulation, wraps up the tribulation. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Amen. Which is talking about after the Holy Spirit steps back, amen, the Antichrist that we've been talking about for hundreds of years and thousands of years shall be revealed. He's going to come on the scene. And for 7 years, he's going to wreak havoc. And then if you see in the continuation of verse 8, then it says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's talking about the very end of the tribulation. And when we talk about his mouth, what is it saying? Well, is it really a sharp two-edged sword? Not actually a sword, but because it's in reference to how powerful his word is. He is the word, the ultimate word, that is spoken. Amen. He spoke life, and it came so. In other words, what I'm saying to you is no other individual is above Christ. Why? He's the only one that has the power and authority that he can actually speak something and it materializes out of nothing and it exists. When he created heaven and the angels, he created out of nothing. There was nothing to create. When he spoke it, they came into existence. When he created the moon, the sun, the earth, the moon, the stars, the Son, when he created man, he spoke it and they came to life. Even though man was made out of the dust of the earth, when he made the earth, when he made the universe, he made it out of nothing. He is the highest authority when it comes to the word. That's how powerful he is and how powerful his words and his word is. So when he come back to destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all these armies on the earth, he's just going to speak and they're just going to destroy. They're just going to decimate all the armies of the earth. That's how powerful he is. He don't even need us to do anything. And he says, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You know, my dad used to talk about how bright the Most High was, that the angels in heaven, their wings would cover their eyes, that they couldn't look upon the Most High because his glory is so bright. He's so righteous and so pure and so holy that you can't look upon him unless he allows you to see his face, unless he allows you to see him. That's how Christ is. When he comes back, his brightness is going to be so. We're going to be right there with him. Man, it's going to be so powerful. And verse 16 says, he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're going to know it when he comes back. He's going to crush all his enemies. As I just told you, there is no authority, no word above his. All these attorneys, politicians, governments, laws, police officers, military men, the captains of the world, the kings, queens, and rulers and tribesmen, and whatever you want to call these rulers, the people in high authority, the so-called elites, you can call them whatever you want to call them. When they stand before Christ, lawyers, attorneys, they think they can grill people and eat people up in court. Oh, but when you stand before the great judge himself, he is the Almighty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his word. When you stand before him, he's going to ask you a question. You're going to be so scared after coming out of hell. Man, people think they can handle hell as a nightmare that you can't. He's going to raise you out of hell, and then you're going to stand right there before him. He's going to judge. He's going to grill you up and down from the time that you came into accountability. The age of accountability, he's going to ask you, why did you do this? And you got to give an account. The word says, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess. Hey, when you stand before him, you're going to know that he is God. All the people try to be smart, try to be cute, say all these crazy things, and you know, just all kind of just silly stuff. I've heard silly stuff about God ever since I was a kid, man. People still say silly stuff. All, but when you stand before him, oh, you got to give an account, baby. You ain't going to be able to escape. You're going to be sitting there. Your spirit going to be naked. In other words, you ain't got nothing to cover your sin. You're going to sit there before the Most High, and he going to grill you. You're going to have to give it up. You're going to tell him, and you're going to know that you was wrong for all the wrong that you did. That's every thought. So you think your thoughts are secret, but he knows your thoughts. Even if you mumble, he know your thoughts. Every word that you say, even if it's by yourself, you can be in a room by yourself, you can be in a car by yourself, you can be saying bad stuff about people, talking about people, be on the phone talking about people, you can be talking about people to their face. Everything you did, every thought, every word, and every deed, everything that you've done in darkness, whether it was in the light, the dark, you think nobody knows, in the closet, it's out of the closet, it's down low, it's up low, is whatever low is, whatever you want to be, whatever you hide, whatever's in the open. Man, let me tell you, and I've said this before, I don't like nobody questioning me, especially not on the job. You know, when you say, oh, how you do? I don't like nobody grilling me. I don't like nobody saying nothing to me. That's why I do my job. I try to do the best that I can. I don't like nobody saying nothing to me. But can you imagine? He going to be grilling you for all that you've done on this earth. Oh, man. And he got all eternity. Ain't no more time. Ain't no more clocks. You're going to be up in a void, and he's going to judge you before his heavenly Father, before his Father sat on the throne, all his holy angels, the beast. When I say the beast, I'm talking about the beast before his throne, all his holy angels be sitting there watching you. Ooh, that's got to be something. You talk about an audience, the angels are going to be watching you. The Holy Spirit is going to be there. And his Father in heaven will be sitting on the throne. And he's going to stay, even though they pierced him, even though they pierced him and hung him on the cross, they got to give an account. Woo, man, that's got to be tough. That's got to be something to stand before him, knowing that you wronged him, knowing that you wronged other people. And you got to stand before the Most High. He's going to judge you, man. He's going to run you up and down. And you think you can handle it? Like I say, you folks think they smart. The Bible says his voice like the voice of many waters. I think we just read that somewhere over here. Let's see, where is it? Oh, there it is, 19:6. See, the Bible shows you these things for a reason. Let me read verse 19:6. Give me a sip. I can't keep my voice going. I'm almost through. Revelation 19:6 says, John said, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. Now, this is the multitude, for the Lord Yahweh, omnipotent, reigneth. But if you go back to Revelation, the first chapter, amen. And you look up there at what it says, it talks about Christ. You see the very same thing. So there's power and authority that comes with being a part of his army and being a part of him. We are in the army of the Lord. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 15, says the same thing. Talk about his voice was the sound of many waters, which means that his voice is so deep. His voice, I don't know if you've been around what they call those things, waterfalls, how heavy they sound and how deep they sound. He says the sound of many waters. And his voice is so deep and so heavy, man, folks will be shaking before him. And you already just come out of hell. You're going to be shaking. People talk, oh, I can't wait to come. They'll say, okay. You think you're talking noise that you can't wait to stand before him and tell him. You ain't going to tell him nothing. He going to tell you, and you're going to give him an answer. So that's how it goes. Just like it was when you was a kid and your parents used to come in there and ask you why you did this, why you did. You know, you. I don't know about y'all. I was terrified of my parents, both mama and daddy. And when they come in that room with that bell, see, I came from the old school. We had bells. We didn't play back then. I don't want nobody saying nothing about no bell because the Bible says, spread the rod, spoil the child. I'm a believer. I believe in it. I don't care about what no government say. I don't care about what no man say, about no Lucifer, Satan, and their government, and their authority, and their rule. His rule is higher than in anybody. I just told you, Christ, nobody higher than Christ. My parents are coming out of the room. You know, you're going to give it up. They grilling you. They ask you why you did this, why you did that. And then you know what's coming next. After they sit there and grilled you and ask you questions, and basically judging you why you did this and how you know all that. And so you're like, my dad, so now you know what you're going to get. I remember my dad said, now you know what you're going to get, right? Yes, sir. And so you got to give it up. Yep, come on. And so it's punishment. It's the same thing that you're going to deal with Christ. He's going to run you up and down. You ain't going to escape. You got to confess. You got to give it up. Yes, sir. Yes. You're going to get tossed in the lake. All that tough talking that you're doing right now in this day and time means absolutely nothing. Amen. So let's move on. Let's go ahead and knock it out. We've got 15 minutes left. Let's go ahead and knock it out. Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 17, says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. Amen. So we know what's about to happen. So what's funny is that after the demise of mankind, that have these 666 on their foreheads, in their hands, probably everywhere else, because it's going to be, some folks going to overdo it. They're going to probably have a 666 all over their body. They're just going to go crazy, and they're going to go bonkers for Satan and the Antichrist. And it's going to, you know, how folks just over, you know, these got folks that's like that. They're going to do the most. You got something that's going to have on their forehead and their hands that they're going to leave it there. You know, something going to have on their back. You know, it may, you know, tell what you're going to probably gonna have on both cheeks. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'll let your mind wonder on that. People going to be, they're going to be cutting up. You know, they're going to be doing the most. You see what I'm saying? And so all I'm saying to you is, you know, man, is, you know, they're going to go out their way to turn their back, just like they're doing out here now, turn their backs on the Most High. Oh, he serves Satan. And my son just told me, oh, we one of the classmates talking about, he serves Satan. Ain't that something? A kid. Boy, you don't even know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're setting yourself up for. Well, hopefully he'll change that around before it's too late. But in verse 17, it's already telling them, hey, get ready to gather together because it's going down. Amen. That's all. He said, the angel and the son said, he said, told the father, come on, gather together. It's fixing to go down. Y'all going to have a great feast. Verse 18 says, that ye may eat the flesh of kings. Now, who are your kings? We call a president. Some countries call it a king or a queen. Some nations call it a head tribesman or, you know, whatever, the head dictator, you know. Whoever you want to call it controls your elite, your so-called elite that's hiding behind the curtain, the so-called largest family, 13 families of the world, rule the world, whoever they want to be. It don't matter to me. Amen. It don't matter to me. See, I ain't the one you got to worry about. See, you're not going to escape Christ. It don't matter, you know, about us. Christ you got to worry about. You ain't going to escape him. You can say whatever and do whatever, but when Christ come on the scene, yeah, buddy, like I just told you, he's going to raise you from the dead. You're going to stand before him. He's going to toss you right in the lake of fire, and you're going to burn for all eternity, fire and brimstone, unquenchable fire. Then what? See all your power and authority. See, your body going to get eaten up by kings. You're going to eat your flesh. You're going to be eat you. We're going to pick you down to the bones. And brothers going to come and pick them down to the bones. It says kings and the flesh of captains. Who are the captains? I just told you, they're part of the government. Well, they're military captains, high-ranking officials, police captains, high military officials. It could be people who are probably the head of gangs, the head of mafias. It don't matter who you are, you're not going to escape. Don't matter who you are. These are people who are high ranking authority. Because here's what you gotta understand. Everybody has a rank. These people out on the streets that are thugging, thuggery goes all the way up to Satan. Let's just be real. It goes all the way up to Satan. He's the head thug. Let's just call it like it is. And everybody follow up under him is just thugs in different ranks. That's all they are. Satanic and Lucifer, they just all got different ranks, all the way down to the bottom man. But see, this is referring to the kings and the captains. The flesh is going to be eaten. Now watch it. And it says, in the flesh of mighty men. There you go. And the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So this is going to be every single body. So what basically the scripture is saying, that if you accept that mark on your forehead, in your hand, and you serve the Antichrist, you serve the prophet, the false prophet, and you serve Lucifer, Satan, and all his fallen angels, all the demons, whatever, basically you serve Satan. I don't care if you pour from the dust in the street all the way up to the most filthiest, richest person on the face of the planet. You accept that mark, you're going to die. The birds are going to feast on your flesh. And when you die, when Christ get destroy you, see, Christ going to destroy him first with his mouth. Whatever it is he going to shout or say, it's just going to decimate. They're just going to all just die. It's going to lay there. Maybe it just may go like fire across there. We don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it's some type of bright light. We don't know what it's going to be. It's just going to decimate the evil men of this world and women. They're just going to kill them all. They're just going to be done, dead. That's it. And then after they're dead, the birds are going to come, the angels come eat their flesh up. They're done. This is over for them. And their souls are going to go down to hell. They're going to be in hell. And they're going to be tormented in hell for that 1,000 years. Until Christ rules with the church and all the saints for 1,000 years. They're going to be in hell for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be in the pit for 1,000 years. Then what's going to happen at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loose. The fallen angels are going to be loose. You name it. All of Yahweh's enemies are going to be loose. All the people who were unbelievers are going to be loose. With the exception of who? We're going to read here in a minute. Verse 19 says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about? The beast is who? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to gather together, going to assemble all the nations. All the nations on the earth are going to be subject. They're going to come to the battle of Armageddon. Not World War III. Remember, World War III hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen, but Armageddon is not World War III. A lot of people think Armageddon, read your scriptures, do your study, read your context, go back to Revelation, the sixth chapter. World War III is not Armageddon. That's two separate events. Because World War III is going to happen at the beginning, the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. It's going to be very short. But then they're going to get to use the nuclear weapons. See, people are talking about the nuclear weapons. The nuclear weapons are not going to be used. Okay, they may make an attempt to use it against Christ when Christ comes back. But whatever it is that the government is hiding, these worldly powers are hiding, they believe they have some type of technology that they think is going to destroy Christ. They're going to get the shock of their life. Because, again, I'll tell you, there's no more high authority or power than Christ. And when Christ come back, they ain't going to get the opportunity to even fire it. When he come back, he's going to shout. It's going to be over. He's going, oh, there it is. Victory. It's over with. Shut it down. Let's go home. That's it. We got the victory. That's it. Now watch this. That was verse 19 I just read you. Verse 20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The only two that will not be judged is those two. You know, there's a saying that that is their judgment. They are judged. Then there's a saying, people joke about it. They say that you're going to go to hell with gasoline draws on. They're going to go to hell and the lake of fire. They're going to go to the lake of fire with gasoline draws on. They're going straight to the lake of fire. They don't even go to hell. They're going straight to the lake of fire. Ain't that something? They don't even get to go to hell. They're going to get tossed alive. That's what it says. Well, look what it says. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Man, that is something. I want to share something real quick, which I'm going to get ready to shut it down. Revelation, the 16th chapter. I believe it was the 16th chapter. How much time I got left? You got a little time. Revelation 16 chapter. Read these two real quick. I'm going to be out of your way. Revelation 16 chapter, verse 15 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is Christ talking about the church. Be ready. Verse 16 says, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So verse 15 of Revelation, the 16th chapter, talks about the church watching. Man is to watch before Christ comes back to get church. This verse 15 is talking about is going to kick off before the Great Tribulation. Okay? Verse 16 is at the end of the Great Tribulation. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Who is he? The Antichrist is going to gather who? All the armies of the world. All the nations and whatever military power, whatever type of knowledge, whatever Lucifer and the fallen angels have given them as far as technology, weaponry. They got stuff that they say we can't even imagine. They say technology is 1,000 years ahead of us. I believe it because we think the stuff we got now, these tinker toys that we got now, was the most that they had. No. In ancient time, the fallen angels, when they first was loose, when they first came to earth, they had technology. Remember, they've been in the universe. They've been in existence for a very long time. They gave men to hell this technology and weaponry and stuff that they could do. So can you imagine where they are now as far as technology? They're far advanced. They're far ahead of us than what we can imagine. And guess what? They believe that they got something that can stop Christ. But, oh, boy, they're going to get a shock. They're going to get taken care of real quick, and that's going to be the end of it. Now watch this. I want to read to you verse 14 and 16. Chapter says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. This is what I'm talking about. They believe that they got some type of technology, ancient technology, combined with what right now, the current time that we're in, that they're going to be able to take care of Christ, but they're not. It's not going to happen. Back over to the 21st verse, Revelation 19. We're going to shut it down. And the remnant were slain. Who is the remnant? The rest of them that remain. Okay? They were what? Slain with the sword of him. So after the army, see, it's going to be too late. So what's going to happen is he gonna crack them all across the head. The Antichrist, the false prophet. So that's the first and the second beast. They're going to get broke off. All the armies going to get taken. All of us will be just definitely going to be taken care of. And what's going to be left? The people. So now your religious system is gone. Your commercial system is gone. The army, military, and police forces are all gone. They destroyed. Now what's going to happen left? Nothing but the nation is left. Now you're going to be destroyed. That's going to be it. That's just going to be it. So it's going to be religion is going to be gone. Your commerce is going to be gone. Then your military, your Antichrist, your false prophets are going to be destroyed. They're going to be gone. And then all is going to be left is the remnant. Those people, the nations that serve these governments, these so-called elites and so-called Illuminati, these people want to be on their side, and these Satanism and Lucifer and folks who serve Satan and all this old mess, these government systems, as they get cracked across the forehead for Christ, he's going to come in, he's going to destroy them. And all you're going to be left is standing there with your 666 on your forehead and your hand looking crazy. And now you fix to get destroyed. And I ain't trying to be funny, but it's kind of funny because it's just unbelievable how people will put their trust in these government systems. Look how much the government system just lied to people. Look at what just happened here in Texas. Look what's happening in our country, in our world. They just constantly lie to us. And people just still take faith in them. Oh, I'm going to go vote and go do it. You're just taking faith in people who serve Satan that just come constantly lie to you. But that's okay. As I said, and I said and I meant it, they'll all get smacked and cracked across the forehead, and that's going to be the end of them. And you're going to be standing there looking crazy with all these sixes on your body looking crazy. And guess what? As I said in verse 21, and the remnant was slain. You're going to get slain, too, with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Christ is going to break them off and destroy them, too. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth? Is it talking about, now remember, Revelation is symbolic. Not talking about a physical, actual sword, but it's referencing how powerful his mouth and his words are. It's so powerful, it's like a two-edged sword. It says, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen. Running back to Revelation, the 13th chapter, real quick. When you get the opportunity to top it off, read Revelation, the 13th chapter, and you're going to look at verses, amen, what I have written down, verses 12 and 15 of Revelation 13. Revelation 13 talks about the beast. Revelation 12 is talking about the first beast, which is who? The Antichrist. Verse 15 talking about who? The second beast that come up out of the sea. Who's it talking about? The false prophet. Amen. That's all I want you to see. Family, I love you. Thank you all for listening. So hopefully something was said to bless your heart, to bless you this night, this evening. Hopefully you're learning about Revelation. Hopefully I'm giving you some word to better understand Revelation. That's my goal, is to help you to better understand Revelation. It's my job to interpret and break it down for you. It is, but you also have to do your own study and research. As I tell people, don't take my word for it. You got your own soul salvation to stand for. Bob Paul said, work out your own soul salvation. Meaning that you need to read and study the Bible as well. You should be just as smart, if not smarter than I am, in the Word. You got to research, study, and give time to him, pray, and give him your time. He will reveal. Ask him, since you have not because you ask not, family. So, again, hopefully something was said. But, hey, man, I learned a lot from Reverend from reading the last, actually the whole book of Revelation. So again, family, I love you. We'll see you back here next week. We're going to jump into Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen. The great white throne judgment. Amen. So family, love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. I love you. You all have a good night. Stay safe and take care out there. Make sure you're praying for everybody. And love you guys. You have a wonderful night.